Mr. Fairtake, or the Voss?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, vielleicht sollen wir jetzt sofort anfangen, oder... Los geht's?
Yes.
Und los geht's. I didn't like that last Los Gates, though. That last Los Gates sounded weird.
Yeah, it was that, offensive.
It's not offensive. Translation, allons-y.
Okay.
Let's go means let's go.
Oh, okay,
come
yes.
On, you speak something other than English, don't you?
No, I speak awesome guy.
Not a thing. Hello and welcome to episode 466 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, the five.
Whoops, Adam and the
six.
Five.
No, the six.
The six?
Oh, yeah. Which one's which?
Well, the five for the.
Oh,
six, the
yeah.
604.
Okay.
You can say the 604.
Right. I'm in the five, not the six.
Right.
Yeah.
You know it doesn't sound good, the 778.
No.
That's the new. Wasn't that the new, like 20 years ago now though, wasn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's mostly in the valley.
Oh, they moved it out of the valley?
I think so. It's mostly
great.
Out there. Yeah.
All right, forget it then. You're in the 604 representing.
Yep. The 6.
Well, no. It's the 5.
Super confusing.
I don't know what to say. There's someone should write a book about that, and if they do, buy it on Amazon.
Okay, or sell it on Amazon.
Either way, click through our site and help us out.
Yeah,
as you should. Amazon, have you been? What are you? You must have bought some stuff on Amazon. Christmas is coming.
Have I bought anything on Amazon? I think
have
I
you
bought
started
a
Christmas shopping or not?
Not really. No.
Has your wife started?
Yeah, she started. She was at the mall with the kids yesterday. I think did I buy something? I bought those phone, like, you know, the tempered glass kind of covers for your phone, because I had a 3-pack and then I broke one of them, and I was happy to see that it was only a crack in the glass cover for my phone and not my actual phone. So they're kind of made to break, which is fine because they're $10 for a 3-pack, but I ordered a new 3-pack.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
That's it. That's all I can think of.
Why don't you just be more careful with your phone?
I don't even know how I broke it. Like, I haven't dropped my phone or anything, so I guess maybe just putting it in my pocket and something cracked. It's just a little crack in that piece of tempered glass, so no big whoop. Take it off, put a new one on.
Okay. Yeah. That's a bad. That's
you're gonna say you've never.
No, I don't know. I wasn't saying
never,
I wasn't gonna say.
Oh,
I wasn't
you're
gonna say
totally
anything.
Break
hey,
your phone.
Hey, how about
now?
Those Dodgers? Huh?
Yeah, you're gonna break your phone.
What
today.
About how's the Mannheim Adler playing this year? Pretty good, huh? Pretty good.
Yeah, never say that.
Oh,
don't,
the Adler
don't say it.
Looking good this year.
Did you buy anything on Amazon?
I did. I bought some. I started some Christmas stuff. Bought a bunch of stuff. Nothing interesting besides, like, kid stuff.
Okay.
No, you know what I did buy? Jenga.
What? Oh. Now there's, like, the big versions. Like,
yeah,
that's what I see everywhere.
Go classic. What was wrong with it? Was it broken? Was Jenga
broken?
No,
there's nothing wrong with it, but, like, the giant versions are awesome.
Oh, you're talking about, like the totem pole version.
Yeah, like the ones that are, like, 8 times the size of the Jenga, and you can play them, like, outside.
Right. And if it falls on you, that's it. You just die.
Yeah.
I like that one. It's more so like that. Yeah. Can you get people out of being trapped underneath the Jenga totem poles?
Right.
I like that. I see what you're saying. But no, they have fancier versions where they have added on like Jenga pass. Like you pass it around or have to balance it or do other things. And I was like, no, it's just fine. I need games that I can just play. Like we can play as a family. And we're tired of Uno because.
Yeah.
Nobody's a good loser at Uno.
Let me tell you a new exciting turn of events at my house.
Okay.
Jack just told me yesterday or the day before that he has learned how to play chess at school.
Okay.
I am excited because that's about, he's grade five. That was the age that I learned how to play chess in grade five. And we're kind of been off the simple board games and stuff for a while. So going to get him a chess set for Christmas.
Or hear me out. Hear me out on this one. You could buy one.
Yeah.
Or you could have some guy from the country club murder your wife. Okay. You could go to jail for that murder, being framed for it.
Okay.
And while you're there, you make your own chess set.
Okay, all right. That's
and
a
then,
toss
and up. And then, spoiler alert, use the rock hammer that you use to make those chess pieces, use it to dig a hole behind your Rita Hayworth poster.
Right.
Swim through the sewer and get out and then go to Mexico.
And then live happily ever after.
Minus the rape part, yes.
Okay. All right, I think I'm just going to buy him a set. I'm just,
now that I'm saying it out loud, that's probably the better way to go.
Yeah, and at one point we did have like a hand wooden carved chess set. I don't know where it's gone. It was kind of in our family, and I'm not sure. I think it doesn't exist anymore. Maybe it's been put out to pasture, but I'm going to get a chess set of some sort. I kind of was thinking like, you know, fun novelty set, but maybe that's the wrong way to go. Yeah.
No, get a good one. Go nuts on it. But my daughter was in, they had a chess, they learned chess at school, I think last year, year before. So she was in grade one or two, which is too early really. Cause she ended up hating it. But I was excited as well because I know how to play chess. I don't know how to play chess. Mm. You know what I mean? Like I can play. We can sit and play. I can do all the rules, strategies. Like you know, I only have 12 or 14 opening gambits, and like that's it. After that, I got nothing. No, I don't know any of that.
Okay,
I know nothing. Like I do not know the strategy at all. Besides how the pieces move. And that's it. And so I was like, okay, great. Maybe my daughter will love this, and I can, you know, I can quit being a loser, and I can learn to play. And then she just promptly announced that she hated it, and moving on.
Gotcha.
I was actually going to have someone murder my wife as well, and make a chess set, but I dodged that bullet once she hated it. So. I was, right. You know, I could go either way, but my wife was thrilled because she no longer had to be murdered.
Right. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed chess growing up. Probably stopped playing around university time, but I really enjoyed it. And it would be the sort of thing that even in high school, like sitting around having like a beer or two, if somebody had a chess set, there would always be somebody else who'd play, and I enjoyed playing. So I don't know if it makes me a loser, but
no.
It was awesome. And again, I totally enjoyed it. And I would say that I never was part of a chess club or anything like that, but
those guys are losers.
I was a good, I was a better than average chess player who had no specific training. Like I understand that the basic strategies very well, and I could execute most of the time on average players like myself. But yeah, if anyone was really kind of formally trained, they would kick my butt.
Okay. Okay. So chess it is. I went with Jenga. So
cool. Yeah.
So yeah, not nearly as
good. They're both good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not many movies built around some kid learning how to play Jenga.
But maybe there should be.
There's going to be. I'm going to make one. Now, anyways,
Jenga Prodigy.
My point Sam. Is I wanted to have some events, things we can do as a family besides, you know, just watching Pulp Fiction over and over again like we have been doing.
It's weird.
And, with the Jenga. And then I was like, you know what? I want another board game. And you know that one, Trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah, kids love that one.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, but they do.
Yeah, well, no, here's neither am I now because I was like, I'll go on to Amazon and buy it because you can't just walk into a store here and buy those kinds of games. It's North American stuff, right? That's why I like something like Amazon so much because you can find these things. And so I went on there and looked, and I was like, wow, it's 30 euros for the cardboard game Trouble. 30 euros.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed pricey. Excessive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went on to Amazon.com, the American one, and looked at it, and it's $688, which is too little, to be perfectly honest with you. It should be $14.99, in my opinion.
Okay.
That seems $15 is about right, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so. 15 to okay. 20. Yeah,
15 to 20. I had 20, but I mean, somebody had to invent it, although it seems pretty, I probably could have invented it while I was telling you the story, but so anyways, I cannot get it shipped from the American one here without paying duties. It'll be more like €50, so that's the trouble. My kids are not going to play it. That's how it's going to go.
Right.
So Jenga it is. There's probably some other stuff on like I bought like an iPhone dock to play music on and stuff like that. A lot of stuff this week. Point is, okay. Click to our site. We appreciate it. All right.
Do it. Yeah.
What's going on, Adam?
Nothing really out of the ordinary. Just another week of stuff.
I have an observation then.
Okay.
And I'd like your input on this. I should have mentioned it last week on the show, but I didn't. And so now I'm going to bring it out right now. Did you notice anything about the submissions for the monthly challenge last week? Was there I wouldn't say a common theme, but a relative, because there's a few latecomers, by the way. There's a few people who posted after we recorded, like 2 to 3 to 4 people, I forget now. And I did comment on their photos, and people should go and check them out, even though they weren't mentioned on the show, and we appreciate you doing it. We Adam and I did record, 12 hours before the deadline, so if you missed that the first 30 days, sorry. You should do it early. Here's what I'm telling you.
Sure.
Even though Adam doesn't?
Nope.
No, Adam. Basically, as we're doing the intro, he's shooting his photo.
Yeah.
But the point being is that a bunch of people submitted late, and but of all the submissions, was there a sort of a general theme that you noticed? Something in common with a number of the photos?
A black background?
Sure, not that though.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. I noticed that there were an awful lot of self-portraits.
Oh, okay, sure.
Did you not notice that?
Obviously
not. Or what a
apparently not.
Mind.
Yeah. So black self-portraits.
That too, but there's a lot of self-portraits, and I have a theory on why, but I'd like to hear if your theory first.
My theory is that, like myself, they're like, "Oh, I want to do a submission," and then they had a hard time getting someone to cooperate with them.
Yeah, that's possible.
It's always easier. In my opinion, it's always not to shoot yourself. It's always easier to shoot somebody else. Your last resort is doing a self-portrait. It's more
easier
difficult.
To shoot somebody else. It is more difficult to convince or approach somebody else.
True. That's exactly my point. Yeah.
And so now there is I do find it very difficult to basically shoot photos of my kids because they don't really care. They're just like, "Hey, when's that Jenga getting here?" And right. They don't know yet, so hopefully they don't listen to the show. Otherwise, I just, revealed that Santa.
You spoiled Christmas.
Yeah, I just ruined it for him. Well, what are you going to do? Hey, you're 5 now. Move on.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not easy to get them to do it, and so therefore, if you have a willing participant, it is much easier. It is 1,000 times easier than shooting yourself, that's for sure. However, I do notice, with myself even, so I'm speaking from experience, it is sometimes you sort of lack the self-confidence in yourself as a photographer to approach somebody else and ask them to sit for a portrait.
Okay.
Here's the kicker. Almost everybody that I know, like they don't want to ask me to take their picture because they feel bad. They would love it if I took their picture, and I would imagine it would be the same outside of your direct family, your immediate family. I'm guessing it would be very similar, because generally people don't know somebody with a softbox or an umbrella or off camera flash or etc., and who knows what they're doing and all those things. So for them, it's a delight to get a photo. And we treat it. I know I treat it like, all right, I'll hurry up and get this over with so I don't have to bug you anymore. Meanwhile, these like people are genuinely happy to have their photo taken by a professional or semi-professional or somebody who listens to the show and only kind of knows what you're doing. Maybe you're brand new. Maybe you're in your first year, year and a half taking photos. You're probably still pretty good. People will sit for you. So I would like everyone to have some self-confidence in that, in themselves. Oh. Which is,
okay.
It's right there in the self-confidence part.
Good talk. Good talk.
No, it's part pep talk, but it's also spoiler alert. I'm going to announce the next two monthly challenges after December. Like I'm going to announce January, February now. You might not like it.
Uh oh.
Well, most of them are chess based, so you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, for example, like My photo submission last week, my monthly challenge, I've shot portraits with her a couple of times. She loves it. Like she's like, yeah, I would love getting photos. Like why wouldn't I like getting nice photos? Nobody takes those generally. And so the other my other friend there, the other lady who was there, she sat down. I took some photos of her and they sucked. Like they were awful. They weren't awful. They're fine. They're fine, but I didn't post them for a reason. I should have posted them. I posted the portrait of her boyfriend, who is a friend of mine. Mm. Yeah. I like that one, but hers were just, I just didn't do a good job. The lighting just wasn't right. Like what I was trying to do something very specific, and I fumbled the ball, in my opinion. Now, she liked the photos, but I could tell. I was like, all right. So I talked to her yesterday and I said, listen, a couple of days ago, I said, yeah, I didn't like them. Let's do those again. I'd like something different. Yeah, that'd be great. No problem. So even though I blew it, she was excited to go and do it again anyways.
Had you already shown her the photos?
Yeah, I've shown her some and she liked some of them, but I think she was being nice and
she knew you blew it. Yeah.
Yeah, they just weren't. Well, I didn't want to take the exact, like I wasn't going to have, like I had the one lighting setup done and I wasn't going to take, you know, a picture of everybody in the exact same lighting setup. And plus she's quite a bit taller than the other girl. And so it just kind of wouldn't quite work. I'd have to kind of, you know, move it around, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought I'll do something entirely different and just blew it. Like just, they're not good. Like I said, they're acceptable. They're better than anything she's going to do with her iPhone, but I'm better than that. I told her that, and she is willing to do it again. No problems.
Awesome.
Let that be a lesson to everybody out there. Even though you're learning, you can get people to do it. So, reminder, monthly challenge for December is blue and orange. Now, we already have one submission, believe it or not.
Yay.
Well, somebody took a self-portrait. And they gelled it blue and orange, and they chose not to submit it. And then they said, oh, hey, look at this. I'm clairvoyant. What do you know? And I said, well, you've already entered into the next one. So point being, don't wait until the very, very end of the month, especially since it's around New Year's. I'm not sure what our schedule is going to be. We might not record it on December 31st at midnight. So maybe December 29th should be the cutoff for you. That's my recommendation.
Are you talking to me?
No. You can right up to the end. You can go right to the last possible second. But I'm saying if you want to be included, which I would like everybody to be included, please don't wait until the very, very last hours of the month. Okay. So that is that this December is blue and orange. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better, tag us. Don't mention us in the comments. Actually tag us in the photo at two hosers, and we'll make sure that we see that on the Instagram, and we'll talk about that. Now, here's where we break with tradition. I'm going to announce the next two challenges for the new year right now and probably remind everybody as we go. Since everybody wanted to do a self-portrait, January is self-portrait. I'm actually,
oh my gosh.
I want to see it. It's the start of the new year. I want to see who you are at the start of the year.
Now, microphone drop.
Boom. Now, there's a little bit of a parentheses. That means brackets to you, Adam.
Sure.
In there, we should learn something about you.
Okay.
Like your social insurance number or maybe your bank account number. Something like, just hold it up there.
Okay.
No, and no, not that. No, but I wanted to, like perhaps the environment that you shoot your photo in. We should learn some small detail about your personality or something about you in the photo, in that self-portrait.
Wow, that's something.
That's okay. Yeah, great. That's January.
Okay.
February, we're going back to the portrait. The challenge will be a portrait of a non-family member.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. So that means, I mean, so it doesn't have to be a, I actually like doing portraits of strangers, but it's a very different animal because you don't get the chance to know those people ahead of time and develop a rapport. It can be a stranger. The point being is that, like you and I, like most of our portraits are of our family, our immediate family. And so it's easy. It's an easy ask. Actually, it's a very difficult ask sometimes, but it's an easy ask, but a difficult no that we get. However, working outside your comfort zone, approach somebody that you know or do not know. I don't care. Have them sit for a portrait. That's for February.
Okay.
Okay. Question for you, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever, so let's say you wanted to get a photo of yourself or maybe you and your family or something like that, and there's somebody around and you decide, here, I'm going to have them snap the photo of me. You've done that. Like, here's my camera. Please, can you take a photo of me or us?
I've done that out in public, you mean?
Yeah. No, in the privacy of your own home. Yeah, of course. Or in general, but have you handed the camera off and said, "Hey, can you snap a photo of us or me or just me, whatever it is?"
I guess I have, but I'm trying to think of a specific example. Sometimes what happens is other people approach me and they see that right. I have like a legit camera and they say, "Oh, can you take a picture of us?" And right. then I leverage that into, oh, okay, sure, now can you take one of us? But I can't think of a scenario where I just walked up. Sometimes I'll take a picture of my family, and then someone will just step in and say, hey, would you like a picture of all of you? But I never even, to be honest, think of that
scenario. When somebody else, the scenario is your camera is in the hands of somebody
sure.
else.
Sure, yes, okay? That happens. That happens. Yeah.
Now, you have a photo in mind, yes? Like in your head, you're like, oh man, it would be swell if the photo looked like this.
Yeah.
Have you ever pointed the camera, snapped a sample photo and said, here, can you make it look like this and show them on the LCD screen?
No.
Oh no. See, I've done that many times.
Oh no. That to me is a step too far.
Okay. So I've done that many times. Yeah. I don't know why I still do it.
Total jerkwad.
Okay, yeah. Well, no, I don't mind, but you're a jerkwad with a good photo, potentially.
So jerky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So I did it. So a couple weeks ago, we're out for a family walk, and I saw some interesting lines in a row. They're like out in a village, a couple villages over from us. They're building a new road, and the road's not open yet, but they've painted it and everything like that, and so you can just kind of walk out in the middle of the road. With no cars, and I saw these lines like in the median, and I thought, right. Oh, hey, this might be an interesting photo, and maybe it'll be a photo of me, and I don't know why, but let's do that. And so I get my wife, I had by the X100, and I said, hey, get a photo of me standing right there at those lines, going off in the distance. And so I snapped a photo and showed her. And you can see it. It's the one called Sample, 01 Sample.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, snap this photo. And she said, you got her, Big Otter. And then that was the photo she snapped.
Yeah, it's not quite
the same. Does that same look the same?
Vantage point, no.
Does that look the same? I can't even tell which one. If I had not labeled them, would you know which one was which?
Yes, I believe I would know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like one was the Mona Lisa, and the other one, somebody spilled paint on a Jackson Pollock.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. It's just she's got a lot less sky and a lot more road, and you had the other way around.
Yeah. So, what you doing? I mean, should I bring my wife in here? Embarrass her?
Yeah. You know what? It's a lot of pressure, especially to a... I'm not going to call your wife a non-photographer. I'm just going to say in the scenario that you painted where you, you know, show the stranger your photo and say, make it look like that. That's a lot of pressure. I'm just going to... If I'm asking somebody to snap the photo, I'm just going to live with the results. Like, that's just the way it's going to be. And maybe they're going to put up a Mona Lisa and maybe they're going to lay an egg. But either way, I'm just happy that I got a shot of the family. Yeah. So I think you got to live with this one.
My expectations.
Yeah, you definitely should.
Okay, that's all.
But hence why I think that people who are, you know, in the environment looking for someone to snap their photo, like I am a target a lot, usually because I've got a camera around my shoulder. So yes. I get picked out, not by accident. My wife doesn't get asked to do this. I get asked almost everywhere I go with my camera to take somebody's photo. And so that's just smart. They kind of recognize that, hey, that guy looks like he might know what he's doing. I'm gonna take my chances. They've profiled me.
They have, yeah.
Yeah, you got a profile.
You also
man.
Know that like bald guys never steal stuff.
That's true. I look
That's
safe.
That's a fact.
Plus, if I'm with my kids, even more so, I'm not going to steal with my kids. Bald guy and kids, that's like the perfect storm of safety.
So what I'm just now figuring out, though, if you're going to rob a bank to pay for that chess set,
right?
Take your kids along. Shave your head, take your kids. I think we just figured out the perfect crime, Adam.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. No one would suspect a thing.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, I didn't shoot anything.
So I shot...
Oh, wait.
Okay.
No, still nothing. I'm going to do a photo shoot tomorrow, but that doesn't get included. I'm going to do a photo shoot for some people that I've done photo shoots in the past for. They like the white background. They like the Christmas photo thing. Their dog comes along. For anyone who was listening last year, they probably can look or back and see the photos that I did last year. But I always do Christmas photos for the same couple, so I'm gonna do that again this year.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that next week then.
Yeah, that'll be interesting next week. Maybe.
I mean, next week. Yeah. So I did working on. I'm not quite finished yet. I got to add some text, but I'm working on the birthday invite for my son. My son's birthday. And I accidentally stumbled across a video on the YouTube on what I think is a cool technique. You tell me. So here's the sort of streak effect that I'm going to use for my son's birthday card. Now, it's not specific to birthday cards. It was just a cool technique. I needed an excuse to try out. And so I gave it a go today. What do you think of this?
This is pretty cool. I don't know if you remember this, but I'm sure I used it on the photo challenge, like maybe like 5 years ago.
This?
A technique similar to this. It was probably a little bit more basic version. And I'm not sure if I watched a video of it or I just kind of streaked it myself. But I have a picture of Jack in his Flash costume. So he would have been preschool. So he would have been 5 or 4.
It's funny you say that because I was going to send a link to you and say, hey, I don't think he still has a Flash costume, but this would be great with the Flash.
Yeah. And so I did a less perfect kind of streaked version of this with him in the Flash costume and the big streaks of his costume kind of trailing behind him. I didn't use it for a birthday, but I think it was something for Halloween. But anyways, it showed up on the podcast. I'm sure of it. 5 years ago. So
I probably thought of the Flash because I remember you doing something like this. I guarantee you didn't do this effect. Exactly.
No. And it wasn't twisted like that. It was just basically a trail of his costume.
Well, the twisted part is the easy part.
Okay.
Like it's actually fine now. Like the second time I do this, which there will be a second time, the second time will be faster. And like I learned a number of things like hand placement is key here. Like this isn't the best, but again, he wasn't super interested in helping me out, even though it was for his invite. like I would have his left hand, I would have it above his head so that I could, so that the streaks could end at his hand and not at his head. It doesn't kind of make sense that way. But I'm not going to go back and reshoot this one. It's a live and learn. That's how it's going to go. And next time I'll make sure about it. And it generally works better with action. And so I was trying to get him to jump up in the air and that was not a thing. And so I had to settle for him standing there, doing the, rock and roll hands of the devil horns. And so,
yeah, I feel like also from a standpoint of, we got to expect motion here. He should be going the other way. Like his knee and leg should be going the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. Like no, I disagree. The streak should be going the other way.
Or the streaks go the other
way. But yeah. I accidentally started off going the wrong way when I did it, and I was about an hour and a half in, and there was no way I was starting again.
Okay, no worries.
So you are 100% right. It should have gone the other way. It just, I fumbled that ball.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, you know what? Hey, again, live and learn. Yeah. Next time we'll be better. I didn't really care because, like, you see the examples on the link I'll send you. I'll post the link, actually. It's a pretty cool effect if anybody wants to try it. It's the examples he has are much more motion oriented and looks way cooler in that case. But it's one of those things where I needed an excuse to learn something new. I like doing that. And so I had fun with it. I'm going to probably use it in sort of baseball themed things in the new season for advertising, stuff like that.
Cool.
So besides that, went out with my son last weekend, went and walked around town in the evening.
Back up a sec. Are you going to post a link of how this was done or anything?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. I'll post the YouTube. I'll post the guy's YouTube video. Okay.
All right,
it's great. About 20 something minutes long, and takes you way longer to actually do it than 20 minutes. Like the first time took me quite some time. Although I was very like, it actually, for some reason, it took me a long time to cut him out perfectly. And so that was a good chunk of the time. But once you have him cut out or masked or whatever, however you want to do it, it's relatively easy. There's a couple steps that are, you know, point being, you end up learning some new moves on the Photoshop, which is nice.
Okay.
Like copying layers and moving layers and stuff like that. Pretty handy things. So definitely worth my time. All right. So I'll post that on our site. Then went out a couple last weekend after we recorded the last show, walked around, snapped some photos with my kid. Just went out for a night, an evening, walked around town, had some dinner. And brought the X100 because it's the greatest camera of all time. So snapped a photo. I kind of like the one of me and him in the mirror. That's a mirror in the Markplatz in Tübingen. And I liked it because I filmed it on the, I did it on the 2 second timer. So I didn't have to hold my finger on the shutter release during the photo.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks, cause it's kind of like a funny look to it. Like I'm holding the camera obviously, but I'm not pushing the thing. I kind of like that. I like the picture of me and him. And there's me and him in the restaurant, which is just a nice photo I never would have had I not brought that, you know, been able to bring the X100 with me.
Mm-hmm.
But the last one I like, the one of him just kind of looking like he owns Tübingen, sitting in the cool light in the cobblestone street. I like that one.
Nice. Yeah, I like that one too.
And that's a function of that camera being able to see in the dark because I was going to shoot this at ISO probably 3200, maybe 1600. I somehow bumped it and shot it at ISO 8000, which still looks fine. But that was just an example. I saw some cool light spilling out of an H&M, actually, store, and said, hey, go stand there. We'll get that kind of the different kind of blue-colored light in the background. We got some depth. We have the cobblestones. A lot of elements working here. And that was it.
Cool.
Okay. Photo challenge. This week is softbox. Let's have a look at your photo first.
Okay.
Christmas card, I'm guessing.
No, just I wanted to take a photo, and my wife said, "Well, let's get our Christmas pajamas." So she had got us a Christmas pajamas. We all have the same bottoms, different tops. And then I said, okay, well, let's, you know, do it in front of the tree and just have a photo. I don't think we're going to do former, like the actual Christmas cards this year. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we'll do a digital version or something. But yeah, we both decided that, yeah, we're gonna not actually send out hard copy Christmas cards this year. First time.
Why is that?
A little bit about the fact that they just get, you know, after a month after Christmas, they just get thrown away or recycled mm-hmm. or whatever. So maybe I'll print one for myself. I don't know if I decide to make one, or we'll send out a digital version. But anyways, just the thought of that just kind of waste. And yeah, just thought that it's not necessarily a thing that we need to do every year. So mm-hmm. I probably will make something, but actually printing hard copies and sending them out this year, we're going to not do that. But back to the challenge. Just a personal choice.
Greta Thunberg thanks you.
Okay.
No?
I don't know who that is.
You're the only person who doesn't know who she is?
Greta who?
Thunberg? What's her name? I don't know. She's going to save the planet, Adam.
Oh, the Swedish.
Your kids know her.
Yeah, that's right. So I just know her as the Swedish girl who's going to save the planet. 15-year-old, right?
Yeah, sure. I'm not doing her bio. I just know her name.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about the 15-year-old Swedish girl who's going to save the planet. And good for her. And a little bit of it is motivated by that, is just the waste. And my wife is very conscious of that as well. So that plus just, I think that, you know, now we're in a digital world where I can just send a digital Christmas card.
We've been doing that for a number of years. And I'd like to say that we've been out ahead of the curve on this, and that we're trendsetters, but really we just can't get our act together until the very last second. And that's why we have never done it. And now that I like your example better, your reason, for us, it's just piss poor planning, really. Because, you know, us being here, we have people we have to give Christmas cards here. We have people in Canada, and I would like for it to, you know, to just be able to hand them out when I'm there, but I never get it done in time in November, and that's not Christmas, and this story doesn't have an end. So let's just go on to your photo.
Yep. So this was softbox. So I thought I'm going to do a one light photo with the softbox only. That's what made sense to me in terms of the challenge, is that it was all going to be done with just the one softbox. So we put the softbox up, or I did, the big one, the giant softbox that I have, the mm-hmm. Paul Buff one with the strobe, the big kind of Alien Bee strobe, so the studio strobe. So one huge light, and then the camera, which I used, was the X100S on a tripod, and just, again, triggered it with the Yongnuo triggers, and basically just slightly
Hold on. You're in this though. Obviously, we can.
Yeah.
We
so
can
I set the you. So I set the camera timer. The 10 second timer.
You didn't use the app.
I did not. I haven't got that far. I just basically put the 10 second timer on. It is
phenomenal.
Okay. Well, maybe that's the next thing. I haven't mm-hmm. set any of that up, but I went and popped the camera on, feathered the softbox in front of us slightly, camera left. And voila, so almost all the light in the photo, there's a tiny bit of light coming from the LED bulbs on the tree and on the mantle, but otherwise there's no other light.
Well, there's no light coming from them, but they are practical lights, meaning we can see them.
Right. And, but when I exposed for it, I think this is an ISO 200, something like that, an F6. At that, the preview light, you can see those lights. So there is a tiny bit of, light.
But what I'm saying, light coming from them, it's not affecting the exposure on you.
No, it's not affecting the exposure at all. And then everything else, all the light in this photo is 100% from the softbox. So there you go. So what I like about this photo is, A, the X100 is pretty close, and just again, no distortion. People look so good on that camera. I can't think again of a 22 millimeter or 35 equivalent that you could buy that would look this good as far as people photos go. So yes. It looks to me like a 50 millimeter lens. Like I could not tell you that there is a difference.
Every week we talk about it's a new ad for this camera, but I fully agree because you look at it, it's not a cheap camera. Even used, it's not a cheap camera. But let's say you buy a brand new X100F, or you hold on until next year when the V is coming, which by the way, I believe I called the name like a year ago. Although it shouldn't be that hard. That seems like reasonable because you can't use F again.
Right.
But, so they're naming it after Vancouver, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming if you're going to buy a new one, you're probably going to wait until 2020 when they're going to announce the V. Not a cheap camera. And this is what I wrestled with when I bought mine. I bought mine 2 years ago now, and I had wanted one for a few years, you know. But at that point, it wasn't the F; it was the S, the T. When I wanted them, and should I spend that much money? I don't know. Is it worth it? Yes, it is absolutely worth it. It is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Look at this. I mean, you look like you're seeing a camera for the first time in this picture.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like you're like, wow, is that light going to, oh, the light worked. That's the look on your face.
Yeah,
I know. Holy cow. Totally. Hey, Ma, look at that big light. That was
the kids. This was an in-between shot because I took a couple of photos and this, I can't remember what happened, but nobody was ready for this photo, even though the timer was going and the kids were laughing. And it was so much less posed than the other eight that I took. And of course, I mean, the smiles are more genuine, like everything looked better, which is why I chose it, but I looked the goofiest. But the takeaway from the giant softbox is, so, I mean, obviously the X100 is terrific, but is one light, like where else can you get such a nice, even light for a group shot, but out of the softbox? Like it's just so great. And again, I can't say enough good things. I've used that giant softbox with the studio strobe setup so many times, but as a one light setup, you just can't beat that. Everybody looks good.
No.
The shadows are nice and soft and it's just so pleasing and even, and you can still get shape to the light, like I said, by going slightly off center and just kind of feathering it across. So it just makes people look good.
It does indeed. Yeah. And you think about all the Christmas photos or all the photos you had when you were a kid. This is better than all of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's getting Purdy's chocolate.
And if, that's right. Yeah. There's a bunch of Purdy's under there. I think it was a school fundraiser. But if I try to shoehorn in like a few kind of extra lights here, I'm not sure it makes it any better. And in fact, it might be worse. So
indeed.
So yeah. It's another scenario of just simple, like could not be more simple. If you're going to do flash triggers and external lights, like one giant light like this, it could not be more simple.
Now, if you do not have a giant softbox, you can achieve something like this, not exactly. You can get partway there if you were to bounce your flash into the ceiling, like an off-camera flash into the ceiling.
Yeah, get it at the right angle, maybe the black foamy thing.
You can achieve somewhere near this. The softbox is going to do a much better job. And the good news is Adam won't be in your picture.
Yeah, with the goofy look on his face.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll get to my goofy looks later.
Okay.
All right, so here's mine. This is today. It's taken this morning because last minute, but also because today is Nikolaus Tag, which means the day, December 6th, Nicholas comes to your house and fills your boots. You leave your boots out, and he fills them full of chocolate and a toque and socks in this case.
Right.
And so I take this picture every year. It used to be pajamas, but my kids actually have like 1,000 pairs of pajamas now, and so I didn't want to just waste, you know, the environment because of, you know, Greta, of course,
right.
just because it was a tradition. So I said, all right, this year we're getting, they're getting it. Actually, it was a long, did I tell this story on the air? I don't know. It's maybe I'll save it for next week, but, hey, Roots, get it together. Okay.
Okay.
You're slipping. Roots is a big Canadian brand, like Canadian institution, right?
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
Slipping.
Okay.
Get it together. My kids used to get Roots pajamas, as you can see on my daughter. That's from like 3 years ago, the ones she's wearing. Anyway, so today was the day where like, you know, get up at like 6:30 in the morning and go outside where it's minus 8 degrees today, and they find their boots. And so that's what this was. So this is a very, very unconventional use of a softbox.
Okay.
Let's talk about the photo first. What do you think of the, what do you think of the shot? Tell me what you think. Maybe about the lighting. What are your thoughts on this?
I like it. It's maybe a little bit dark for my tastes for this shot. And again, 6:30
in the morning.
Adam. I know. It's 6:30 in the morning. There's a lot of backlight here.
Yes, that's the softbox. That's the unconventional use of the softbox.
Oh, okay.
Now I shoot this every year, and I kind of want to change it up every year. I don't want to keep doing the exact same thing. And this isn't staged. Like this is actually happening. This is technically a snapshot that has been pre-lit with three lights the night before.
Okay.
So it's all set up. Well, actually, that's not true. Two lights are set up, and then one I have to put out in the morning because it's outside. But it's ready to go at the front door. It's dialed in. All I have to do is take it outside and plant it. And but after that, everything happens. I don't have the kids pose. This is as it happens. And so this year, I wanted to add that backlight, which I was hoping would be masked by my son when he came out, but we can still see it coming through the door there.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the softbox.
Right.
Normally, I would light that with a hard light raking across there, but I wanted to try what would happen if you bathed it in a giant softbox light instead. And you're not a fan.
No, I'd prefer more light in the picture. Just like the boots are obviously what they're looking at, and it's pretty dark on that.
You can use your imagination.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just thinking of, again, someone who's just looks at this photo as to, like, I know what's going on. I've seen a million of these. You've told the story each year, so I know what's going on here. But if someone didn't know what's going on here, I feel like just a little bit more light on the boots, a little bit more light.
This could be
on
your
them.
Monitor. How it could be your monitor as well. I mean, it's very bright on mine, but I have checked it on other devices, and it is darker in some.
I'm just looking on the iPad, so that's
yeah,
all.
Okay. So in certain situations, some are better than others, and
yeah, and but then the backlight to me is so bright. So
yes.
that's all I'm saying.
What if the windows in the door, what if those didn't exist and it was just a door and the only backlight was bathing? Because where I do like the backlight is where it bathes across the floor, the floor tiles. Like,
yeah, that's fine. It's more
like
beside
that.
Your son's head. Yeah, that
I like
part
where
is
it hits
bright.
My daughter's hair. I like
yeah,
that
that's
part.
Fine. Yeah.
I don't like where it exposes all the fingerprints on the window, that on the side window. That
yeah,
sort of sucks.
Yeah, that part.
I can live with that. Where I don't like it is the same as you, is right there in the door itself, but that's kind of a function of, all right, well, that's where my son's standing. If I was posing this, I would have him block that. However, so there is a light in an umbrella in the camera right is my office. That's where I'm sitting right now. Weird, eh? And so there's a window right there where I set up a softbox with a half CTO, and that blasts across there. You can obviously see that it's not going to reach the angle that it's at. It's not going to reach the boots, though.
Right.
It reaches sort of the camera left, it does. Then we have the softbox in behind with a full CTB on it, which is probably too much blue because it's not really moonlight coming in there. Although, again, with a solid door, this would actually look a lot cooler. Because it would be much more subtle. And then camera left. Now, both of those are triggered with a wireless trigger. Camera left, just out of frame, is a flash, the SB26, with the optical trigger, with a half CTB bouncing up into the ceiling above to sort of fill in the shadows. So to bring up the exposure a little bit, which was quite necessary.
Gotcha.
And that's how we got this one. However...
Okay.
So I do like this shot. I understand about more light on the boots themselves. I don't know if that matters myself. You know, I know what it is. I didn't want to just phone this one in. I wanted to take an actual softbox photo just to prove to you that I care.
Okay.
And I did a self-portrait, which will not be my self-portrait because you're learning about nothing. I thought maybe I'll use this as a new profile photo, which I probably won't now, but we'll see what you think. So I snapped a photo of myself just literally 20 minutes before we went on the air here. There's a softbox version and a umbrella version where nothing has changed except for I swapped out the softbox for an umbrella just to see the difference. Exposure is the same. General light is the same. Post-production, everything is almost identical just so we can see the difference. So what do you think the difference between the self-portrait softbox and the umbrella? Ignoring the fact that I'm trying to not look like a serial killer unsuccessfully.
Right. There's, again, the shadows are softer with the softbox.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be.
They are. That's the just going back and forth between the two.
Yeah.
Is that it looks to me like, especially on the nose, but that could be just the slight angle change of your face, although it looks pretty much the same. Could be. But it's definitely softer shadows on your nose and on your eye. And again, there's just a lot more fall off, it looks like, on your face too. But those could be just slight angle changes. Overall, it looks pretty similar to me.
I thought about this. What it could be is a function of a shoot-through umbrella being, I can't quite get it in the exact same position as I did the softbox, because it would then be in front of the lens. So it could be a function of that. The umbrella tends to scatter the light everywhere, which usually means softer light, but in this case, maybe not. Maybe it's a little bit more off axis. That's an issue. But where you really notice it, besides the catch lights in the eyes, is on the background. The background, the umbrella throws a lot more light on the background versus the softbox, which tends to keep it off. And I didn't grid this one. I didn't want to grid this one. I wanted to kind of keep it very, you know, sort of apples to apples. And so
it looks like to me too, the color temperature is different. So that's hard to make that comparison. Like in terms of,
like it's actually dialed in exactly the same.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's weird. Cause you, your skin tones are different. Yeah.
Yep.
No, but yeah, I can see that.
The softbox versus the umbrella.
Yeah, I can see that definitely there's less, the exposure on the background's pretty similar, but yeah, you're right. There's less light hitting the background here.
Yeah. Either way, the FBI is going to come and check my basement for runaways based on these photos.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. That's all the photos. Wow. You gotta speed this up now.
Why don't we just call it?
Because, and you want to do this next week?
Yeah, let's save it.
So the topic was, hey, softbox V.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we don't want to rush through it, and otherwise it's going to be an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not super interested in that. You're right. And so you can find out what we would buy for Christmas next week, which will be, it'll be right down to I wanted to give everybody a little bit of a heads up what to buy. So now less of a heads up. But since everybody likes to submit their challenge photos the night before anyways, maybe you want to go shopping on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay, let me skip ahead then. Reminder, monthly challenge for December is blue and orange, or teal and orange if you want to be technical about it. But blue and orange, teal and orange, either way, you get the idea of what's going on. In fact, I may submit my Nikolaus Tog photo. I may have already taken mine. You don't know.
Right.
That's blue and orange.
Sure.
I'm not going to. I won't phone it in on that one. So reminder of that, monthly challenge for December, hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram. Even better, tag us in the photo, at Two Hosers. We will definitely see it and not leave anybody out. Do you have to remind them about January and February as well?
No,
listen back. Challenge for next week, Adam.
Yeah.
No, I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
You're supposed to, okay. 4:5 aspect ratio, vertical.
4:5 aspect ratio, vertical.
Yeah. Well, 8:10. We call it 8:10 for some reason, even though it's a 4:5.
Right.
You know, reduce it down. But that, yeah, next week I want you to shoot a 4:5 vertical. There's a very specific reason for it that we'll maybe talk about. I guess we'll talk about next week. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll skip a week. We can't. Because then that's the Christmas episode.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll do less. Like, let's talk about, like, you know, what's going on and all of that, and then just cut to the chase.
How will I catch up with you?
Yeah, that's tough.
We don't talk off the air.
That's right.
That'd be a waste of our time.
Yeah.
Okay. Next week's challenge, 4x5 vertical.
Okay.
Do it. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.